Good morning, Preston Woods. Good to see you today. Come on, stand together. Our shepherds kept their watching over silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heaven, the show. That's a good way to start today, isn't it? Merry Christmas, everybody. Sing this together.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive.
shines through. Sing it out.
The glories of His righteousness.
That's the message of Christmas, isn't it? Joy for everyone because God is with us. Emmanuel is here. We're so glad you've chosen to worship with us today. Before we continue, why don't you find somebody around you haven't met yet? Introduce yourself. Wish them a Merry Christmas. We're really glad you're here.
One of the greatest gifts you can give during this Christmas season is the gift of hope, of salvation, of life transformation through the powerful message of the gospel. Every year, we are privileged to be a part of a grace-filled opportunity to advance the gospel through our World Missions offering. As a church family, we can make a difference by helping fund ministry partners in our communities and to the farthest reaches of the world. Our gift to our World Missions offering will help advance the gospel this way. 70% will be steered toward global partnerships, which include Southern Baptist work through the International Mission Board. 18% will go to Prestonwood Missionary Support, and 12% will help with church planting in North America. Last year, our church family provided more than $1.6 million in funding to ministry partners in our community, across the nation, and to the world. Please consider giving generously this year and help impact the lives of so many hurting people who have never heard the name Jesus. So many who will never know God loves them because no one has ever shared the gospel with them. Your gift to the World Missions offering will make an immeasurable, eternal difference for the kingdom of God. You may give to the World Missions offering by using the World Missions offering envelopes and placing them in the offering plates or offering boxes at the worship center exits, using the giving kiosks in the atrium, texting WORLD to 74788 for the Plano campus or 55125 for the North campus, downloading the Prestonwood app on your mobile device, visiting prestonwood.org/give, or by mailing a check to Prestonwood Baptist Church, 6801 West Park Boulevard, Plano, Texas, 75093.
Amen. Well, you know what I was hearing, Michelle, give those all those ways that we can give. My head was spinning just a little bit, right? I was going a little bit screensaver. There's a lot of different ways that you can give your offerings. And you know why we give as a church, as Christians? It's because we want to reach more people for Jesus. That's the simple answer to the question, why give? And we want to go and grow our church and expand the work of Christ. And so our mission offering, we do it all year long, and then we ratchet it up at the Christmas season now with over and above our regular giving to the budget, to the ministry budget. But we also want to encourage you, of course, to support the ministry budget of the church with your tithes and your offerings, because I always say, it's an old missionary motto, the light that shines the farthest shines brightest at home. So when the lights are strong here and we are effectively reaching our community, then we can reach the continents and beyond our community to the nations of the world. Good morning, everyone. You seem a little quiet today. I don't know. It's the Christmas thing is already starting. Are you tired? Nobody's tired, right? I'm not tired. I gave the gospel four times in the last 24 hours. And I'm fired up. So, and we've seen over 300 people pray to receive Christ and raise up their cell phone with the light. And those are the ones we know about. Not everyone who prays to receive Christ, I presume, would hold up or register their decision, hold up their flashlight. But many do, and we're going to follow up. And in fact, if that's you, if you're someone in this service who received Christ through one of the gifts of Christmas, we started Friday night, 3 yesterday, 2 today, 14 performances, 15 counting a very special performance we do the day before for a select audience. But it is it's so good. And that's the mission of Christ and the church, to tell the world who Jesus is. And so we are giving, and we are going with the gospel through our missionary partners. And at this end of year, I am going to be asking us as a church to give our most generous, extravagant, sacrificial gift to our ministry budget that you've ever given. And I want to really challenge you on that and challenge myself and Deb. We're praying about our gift at end of year. End of year giving is very, very important, almost essential. I would put it in the essential category for the effectiveness of our church going forward. So thank you for taking a look at your own stewardship here in the month of December, seeing where you are, what you can do, and how you can do it. And you'll hear a message. We're going to do a message series on giving at the Christmas season, and I'll tell you why at the outset of this message today. We are passing plates again. Amen? And so our ushers are going to take their places and get ready to pass a plate. And we're not just passing lumber down. This is the way we can touch the offering and pray for the service. So maybe when you pass it, don't hold on to it. But, when you just touch it and pray for the people around you. Participate in the preaching of the gospel by praying. You can offer your prayer and then, of course, your gifts. And you can use those envelopes for the mission offering that are right in front of you on the pew rack right throughout the month and probably into January as well. But this is our time to give. And I've had some parents come to me and say, thank you for bringing back the offering plates, because we're able to teach our children about giving and set the example for our children on giving. One dad was telling me that his children had not participated in the passing of the plates until we did it recently, and one of them said, okay, Dad, so what are we supposed to do here? He said, well, you're to give, you get an allowance, you're to give your money to the Lord, you're to give a tithe, explain the tithe and all that, and the child looked at Dad and said, okay, now, Dad, let me ask you, are we giving your money or are we giving my money? So learning a very important lesson about giving. I can't give for you, and you can't give for me, but we can all give to God together, and as the Lord teaches us. And we're all children of God, and we need to grow in the grace of giving, don't we? Because when we give, God gives more. And you're going to see that in the message today. David Shivers is going to come up and lead us in our prayer. I was just noticing in the worship guide this morning, David has served on our staff here at Prestonwood for 21 years. He and Holly... Here we go, and how about those Cowboys? They're doing good, huh? Yeah. Did you see we're going to have World Series champion Evan Carter at our men's conference coming up January 19th. David is big time responsible for our men's conference, and we're getting ready for that. It's not a conference, it's really a rally one night. We've got Daryl Strawberry, another World Series champion. Daryl Strawberry coming. Skip Heising, a powerful preacher. Daniel Ritchie, whose testimony is incredible. And Evan Carter is coming to share his faith with us. So it's going to be a lot of fun. So, David, thank you for all you do working with men, our outreach. He heads our entire missions team and strategy. And his personal witness is bold in this community. He goes down, for example, and does chapel for the Mavs many times and other athletic teams in the area, including the Cowboys in the past. So, David, we love you and thank God for you and Holly and your children. And lead us in prayer as we give thanks to God and the offering that we receive.
Thank you, Pastor. Let's bow together and pray. God, we love you, and we know that your word is clear, that you love a cheerful giver. And so, Father, as we give our tithes and our offerings this morning, we pray, God, that you would move in our hearts and that we would give freely and abundantly. Father God, every good and perfect gift, James 1 says, comes down from us, to us, straight from the Father of the heavenly lights. And so, Father, we give out of the abundance that you have already blessed us with. And so, Lord, help us, to give generously and boldly and abundantly. And, Lord, bless our services. Father, use our worship. This message from our pastor, we pray that you would speak powerfully through this message. And, God, that our lights would truly shine bright, Lord, around the world and around the globe for Jesus. Lord, the gift of Christmas as the gospel is presented and the story and the message of Christmas is presented, Father God, I pray that you would continue to move. We thank you for the hundreds that have already chosen to respond and have lifted high their light and proclaimed that they want to follow and to trust you, Jesus. And we unashamedly, we pray for more. We pray for more, for a powerful moving of your spirit in and through the gift of Christmas and the gospel that is presented, Father. But use your people now in this time of giving to dig deep and to give abundantly. And Father, use these gifts for your kingdom and for your glory. That's our hope and that's our prayer. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay, in fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night. That was so dear. So it continued both day and night.
God, we are thankful for your presence with us. You are not a God who stayed far away. You are Emmanuel, God, with us. We humble ourselves before you today. We say that we need you. Would you come and transform us today by the power of your Spirit and the power of your life-giving word? We want to meet with you today. It's all about you. It's all for you. You are the center. We are not the center. We worship you, Emmanuel, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated.
From a foreign land, we'd give anything to see your face. Like the shepherds, we would treasure a sacred moment to see your face. Heaven kissed the earth when you came. The greatest love reached down my soul to say, and all the earth is longing for the wonder to remain. Oh, Savior, won't you come that close again? Like a starlight in that Christmas sky, we will shine bright until you come. Like the angel on that silent night, we will sing your praise until you come. Oh, heaven kissed the earth when you came. The greatest love down my soul to say, all the earth is longing for the wonder to remain. Oh, Savior, won't you come that close again?
Oh, come, Emmanuel, we worship you. Just sing it with us, come on.
Well, it's great to be with you today, and everyone online, thank you for joining us wherever you are. I've met so many people at the Gift of Christmas from around the country and around the world, really, who join us in worship every Sunday and other times during the week as well, along with PowerPoint, television, and radio. It's an incredible thing to think that from this place, from this wonderful church, we are able to take the message of Christ to the world. So thank you for being here today. Thank you for praying and being a part of what God is going to do in this December. I'm praying that this will be a December to remember, and that's more than a fast slogan. I truly believe God will do some incredible things in our lives, and the message today is, I'm simply calling it, How to Have a Happy Christmas. I wanted to say, just to make all the H's line up, How to Have a Happy Holidays. But I didn't want to be misunderstood, because I don't see Christmas as just a holiday. We do say Merry Christmas around here. But when I think about the holidays, I think about Thanksgiving and Christmas and even New Year's. Because this is a time to remember, it's a time to reflect on the things that matter the most, and it's a time to celebrate, whether it's celebrating a new year, or whether it is celebrating Christmas or celebrating this time of Thanksgiving. And we come out of a Thanksgiving season into this Christmas season with the prayer that God would speak to us and use us as we give our lives to Him. This message series we're calling A Season of Giving. Now, I know every time we talk about giving, some people get worked up, the upright even get uptight when you start talking about giving. I heard about a man who was complaining to the pastor of the church. He said, all this church talks about is giving, 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 giving. The pastor said, well, thank you, sir, for giving me the best definition of Christianity I can think of. Yes, it's all about giving. God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. And in the 20th chapter of the book of Acts, in verse 35, there is a scripture, a verse that I want you to know and remember, as we're called to remember in this very passage of scripture. And it is a verse that is a beatitude, because it begins with a blessing. And you know, in Mark's gospel, or Matthew's gospel rather, there are the beatitudes of Jesus that begin with the Sermon on the Mount, and blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, and blessed are those who mourn, and blessed are those who weep. And so all the blessed passages are there. And the word blessed can be translated happy. Blessed, that we can live a happy life, that we can live a life blessed by God. And there's one beatitude that is known as the last beatitude. Some have even referred to it as a lost beatitude, because it is not repeated in the gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But it is something that Jesus said that was clearly remembered and repeated again and again, rehearsed by the New Testament Christians. And so it became a beatitude recorded by the Holy Spirit, as the Apostle Paul quoted Jesus in Acts chapter 20 and verse 35, when he said, it is more blessed or blessed to give than to receive. He said, remember the words of Jesus. So these are the words of Jesus. You know, not everything that Jesus said or everything that Jesus did was recorded in the Gospels. In fact, John tells us if all the things that he said, all the things that he did were recorded, all the books in the world couldn't contain it. And so some of the things that Jesus said was repeated orally, verbally, in the church. And this clearly is one of those things that Jesus said. Now, Jesus talked about money and possessions and stewardship quite a bit. In fact, more than any other topic, more than he talked about heaven or hell in the Gospels, he talked about our relationship with money and finances and how to gain it, how to give it, and so on. And so we would not be surprised when we read these words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I like the way the Message renders this, for it says it is a happier thing. It is, you are happier for giving than for getting. You're happier giving than getting. And that's true, isn't it? That's what Jesus said is true, because this is what Jesus taught us. And so when we talk about having a happy holiday season, a Christmas season, a New Year's experience, then we have to remember that not everybody is happy at this time of the year. I mean, we go to the malls or we hear it over loudspeaker, it's the happiest time of the year. It's the most wonderful time of the year. But for many people, apparently, it's not a happiest time of the year. There are many people who are sad. Some of you who are listening to this message, you're going through grief and sadness in your life. As a matter of fact, it was a sad time when this verse was delivered through the Apostle Paul as he was saying goodbye with tears to the church, to the Christians at Ephesus. He was leaving, and he said, you're going to see my face no more. And they wouldn't see him again. He had served as their pastor and founder of the congregation for 3 years, and now he's saying goodbye, and he is, in effect, charging the church to be the church, and he's leaving his life and legacy behind there. And because of it, they are weeping. They are weeping. And it was a sad, sad time. And he said, but remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And a lot of people are sad at this season of the year. You've lost a loved one, or you have a child that has walked away from the faith, or you're in financial pressure, or you have health problems. And, you know, when we're singing Joy to the World, you're thinking, well, that's all well and good, but what about joy to my world? Where's the joy in my life? And so many people are not happy. I actually read that 47% of people in America actually dread the Christmas season. They dread Christmas because stress spikes and anxiety and depression and loneliness. The suicide rate at the end of the year is the highest of any other time during the calendar year. So people are not always happy at this time of the year. And so I'm thinking, how can we find this happiness? How can people know this happiness? How can we find this good news of great joy that is given to all people? Well, if you're that kind of person who, you know, it's Christmas, it's the end of the year, and you're just not feeling it, you're not finding this happiness, then this message is for you. Because we're not talking just about happiness in the holiday season. We're talking about happiness in your life. Jesus summed up everything the Bible says really about generosity, about living your life and giving your life, in this one sentence. In fact, it's so good, let's say it all together again out loud. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Again, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is why you could call this the supreme beatitude. I mean, it's really not the lost beatitude. We found that it's right here in the scripture. It may be the last one recorded. And some have called it the forgotten beatitude. But these are unforgettable words. And I believe the supreme beatitude, because it tells us that we are blessed more by giving than receiving. If you want to be blessed more and more and more, if you want to live a blessed life, live a generous life. Now, you may be thinking, well, you know, it's Christmas season, Pastor. Really, you should be talking about the baby Jesus, the manger, and the star, and the shepherds, and the wise men, and the donkeys, and why are you talking to us about possessions and money and giving and stewardship? Well, when I read the Christmas story, everyone in it is giving. Mary, let's start with her, gave her womb. to be the channel of blessing to the whole world. Joseph, the carpenter, the husband of Mary, gave his home and even his reputation to be the foster father of Jesus. It was Joseph who named him based on what the angel had told him, "You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." The shepherds, they gave their testimony after they ran to see the Lord on that night. They ran back to their shepherd's fields and back to their community, telling their world who Jesus is and what they had experienced. The angels, you know what they gave. They electrified the skies with praises to God, glory to God in the highest. And think about it, the angel gave up heaven's darling, God's Son, who left heaven in all of its glory and came to earth. The angels must have been amazed at that, but they gave praise to the Lord Jesus. Even the innkeeper, though reluctant to provide a place for Jesus, apparently he gave his barn for the Savior to be born. And of course, there's the wise men who traveled at great distance with lavish gifts to worship the Lord. They gave their worship to the Lord. And oh, the greatest gift of all, God gave. God gave the greatest gift of all. And when you speak of Christ and Christmas, it's God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. So yes, my dear friend, Christmas is all about giving. Life is all about giving. And you're never more godly, you're never more Christ-like than when you are giving your life away. Because we belong to him. Blessed are those who give. Happier are those who are giving than those who are getting. The psalmist said, "What shall I give to the Lord for all of his benefits, his blessings upon my life?" I hope you took time at Thanksgiving to give God thanks for every blessing of life, not just the big ones, but the ordinary blessings of life. Life itself, every breath. You breathe about 20,000 times a day, I'm told. Maybe a little more, maybe a little less. And every breath we take is a gift from God. Bless him in the small things as well as the big things. Take time to count your blessings, because every good and perfect gift comes from God. And we have been abundantly blessed by God. And so we give thanks. You say, "Well, I'm having a little trouble giving thanks these days because I'm having a hard time. I got problems in my life." Well, everybody's got problems of one kind or another. You may have financial problems or health problems or family problems or marriage problems. We have problems. But the Bible says, "Give thanks for everything, for this is the will of God in everything, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ." So we give thanks always. We give thanks anyway, as Christians and as followers of Jesus, because we know we have been given such lavish gifts from God. The psalmist said, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is what? Good." Now, if God ceases to be good, you can stop giving thanks. You can take a pass on praise when God stops being good to you. But God never stops being good to you. He is good all the time, and all the time he is good. And so we give thanks unto God for every blessing that comes from him. And so what do we return to him? We start with our person. Before our possessions, our offerings, ourselves. That's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians. You first gave your 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5 said you first gave yourselves and then your offering to the Lord. You know, you can give your money as a substitute for giving your life to God. You can give your money as a substitute for giving yourself to the Lord. You can give without loving, but you can't love without giving. And so it starts in the heart. We give our hearts to the Lord by giving our lives to Christ. We put our faith and trust in Christ. He wants you. He doesn't want what you have. God has everything. Have you ever tried to figure out, you know, what are you going to give to that person who's got everything, seemingly has it all? What are you going to give to God? The psalmist is raising that question. What should we give to the Lord? He's got everything. The one thing God wants is you. He wants you to give him your heart and your life, and then he will use you. Don't think that God can't use you. Don't insult God by saying, well, I'm a nobody. God delights in taking nobodies who will talk about a somebody who can save anybody. God will use you no matter how big you are or how small you are. God will use what you bring. God will use what you give as you live for him. So this is why I'm talking about generosity in these days. I never apologize for challenging Christians to give generously, sacrificially to the Lord and to the work of Jesus Christ. Because I know for all of us, though it's not our ultimate motivation, for all of us, we will be happier, we will be more blessed in our lives if I... as your pastor didn't tell you about what God says about giving and stewardship and living a blessed life, I would be doing a disservice to you, because you could miss the incredible blessing of what God could do with a life that is given to him. So it starts with you as you give your life to the Lord. Talking about those wise men. It's the big scene, of course, in the gift of Christmas here. The closing scene, and it's magnificent. But it was probably a lot different when it happened in the first century. First of all, we have three wise men, and I don't want to tear up your nativity set at home, but there probably weren't just three. There may have been an entourage of wise men. You say, oh no, I've got three in my set. There are three, and I read their names somewhere, and there were names I couldn't pronounce. And all tradition, I mean, we get the idea that there were three because there were three gifts. There could have been three. There could have been two. There could have been ten. We don't know. The whole thing is rather mysterious. We don't know really who they are or where they were from. Most likely they were from Persia, Iran, Babylon, perhaps in that area. They came from the east to Bethlehem, but they followed the star. And these mysterious men, we don't know what they, some say they were astrologers who were reading the stars. Some say they were scientists or scholars or philosophers who studied the heavens, and therefore they were astronomers. Others, you know, they're pictured sometimes as wizards with pointed hats and stargazers and so on. We don't know exactly who these men were, but they were in search of the king. They followed the star. And when they came to the place where the young Jesus was, and no, he was not a baby by the time the wise men got there. He was a young child living somewhere around Bethlehem and with Mary and Joseph before their trek to Egypt. And so they come to the place where the young child was, and what did they do? Now, before I tell you the obvious of what they did, let me ask you, what would make for a perfect Christmas for you? What would it take to have the absolute perfect Hallmark movie Christmas? I mean, would it be, you know, getting that perfect gift, that one thing you wished for, wanted for? You've even sent your husband, you know, the Amazon, the line that on the Amazon shopping where, you know, they're not very smart, so they can find it and just click on it and find what you want for Christmas. Or, you know, maybe it's the opposite. I mean, you're the perfect Christmas for you would see all the grandkids' eyes light up when you give them the gifts, and the Christmas is for kids and it's fun, and maybe that's Christmas. And maybe it's just getting the family together and having a lot of fun and enjoying a good meal and going to church and lighting a candle. I mean, all this, you know, we have these high expectations, don't we, of what the Christmas should be like. And the family shows up and Cousin Eddie with them. And sometimes you're Cousin Eddie, you know? We got this Clark Griswold idea about what Christmas should be. I mean, the bonus is coming. It's going to be the greatest. But Christmas so often doesn't live up to the hype. And that's why so many people are disappointed and discouraged, because they're looking for happiness at Christmas. Happiness doesn't come at Christmas. Happiness comes in Christ. And if you're chasing Christmas to be happy, you're chasing the wrong thing. Give your life to Jesus, because Jesus gives you true happiness. And you know, God wants you to be happy. He does. God is a happy God. The psalmist said in Psalm 16:11, "In your presence, Lord, is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Too many people think negatively about God. Maybe it was their church upbringing, their religious upbringing. I don't know, but I know the devil wants you to think negatively about God. And people think that God is an angry God, that God wakes up every day in a bad mood, just walking around the balcony of heaven, just trying to find somebody having a good time where he can say, "Cut that out." Now, Jesus showed us who God is and what he was like, and Jesus was joyous. Jesus was full of joy. He said, "My joy I give to you." Jesus was the life of the party. He got invited to a wedding feast and celebrated with that young couple. And Matthew, when he first came to Jesus, he got a party together with all his tax collector friends, all his sinner friends. Jesus was accused of hanging out with drunkards and wine bibbers and harlots and all the rest, because he loves sinners. Aren't you glad Jesus loves sinners? Because that would include you and me. But Jesus was, you know, little children love Jesus. They wanted to be around him. Children know who's real and who's not real. And they love Jesus. And Jesus welcomed the little children. That's why I don't ever get it when I see some of these pictures that people draw of Jesus through the centuries. You know, and Jesus is, you know, somber and very serious and sorrowful a bit. And yes, I know Jesus was a man of sorrows according to the Bible. When he carried the cross, he carried our sins, he carried our sorrows, he carried our shame to the cross. Yes, he was a man of suffering and sorrow, but Jesus was a man of joy. And so to picture him as, you know, some pale, sanctimonious, emaciated recluse. I mean, the kind of guy you look at him, you say, "Man, you just need to eat a cheeseburger. Something's wrong with you." No, that's not Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible is alive, and he lives in us, and he gives us incredible joy. So when I say, I'm not talking about just a surface thing that, oh, you'll be happy, 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 don't worry, be happy. No, God gives you an eternal peace and happiness that only he can give. The world can't give this to you. Christmas can't give it to you. There's no gift that can give it to you. And that's why we start with giving your person to Christ. Give your life to Christ. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Give your life to Jesus and just watch what Jesus does with your life. And you will find happiness, because it's more blessed of all the blessedness. He said it's more blessed to give than to receive. Then give your praise to Jesus. Back to the wise men. That's what they did. He said, well, they brought the gifts. Yes, the gifts were luxurious, lavish gifts for a king. But what they really gave him is what we do portray in the gift of Christmas. They gave him worship. They fell on their faces, and it says when they saw him, they worshiped him. And when we bless the Lord, what does the scripture say? Bless the Lord. We give our blessing, we give our praise to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. When you give your praise to God, it's more blessed to give than to receive, because the blessing and the praise and the favor just keeps pouring back upon us as we give our praise. And we're to give our praise publicly and verbally. It's good to pray silently and to praise Him quietly, but we're to praise Him openly. Shout to the Lord with a voice of triumph. Openly praise Him. The psalmist said, one of my favorites, Psalm 34, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Give Him praise. Give Him your praise that comes from a heart overflowing with gratitude because of His grace in your life. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And when you give back God the praise, He doesn't need your praise, but He desires your heart. I mean, God's not insecure. He doesn't need you to tell Him how great He is. He knows His greatness, His grandeur, His glory, but He welcomes our praise, and our hearts are changed in His presence when we praise Him. It's amazing what praising can do in our own lives, because when we lift Him up, we get lifted up, and the blessings keep flowing. And one final thing, give Him your possessions. And we're going to talk about possessions next week in the message, in our Season of Giving series. But give Him your possessions. Yes, what you have been given financially, your possessions, your properties, whatever you own, you are a steward. We have been blessed, and what we have comes from God. Say, no, I earned it. Well, who gave you the ability to earn it? Who gave you the breath to take to live it? So we are blessed to give away what God has given us. There are two kinds of people in the world. You know who they are, the givers and the takers. And you have to ask yourself, which one am I? Now, I know we all get an A if we grade our own paper. Oh, I'm a giver. To what extent are you giving your life away? You know, the two most important days in your life, the day you were born, the day God gave you life on this earth, and then the day you were born again. And maybe there's a third most important day, and that's the day you discover the reason for the first two. That you have been born and you have been born again. And when you discover why, and the why is what the wise men discovered, what every Christian who gives away their life has discovered, we are wired, we are hardwired to worship God. You were made for Him. And to give Him all that you are and all that we have. And so the giving of financial resources, I've already said it's not about the money. Be careful of people, by the way, say, oh, it's not about the money. It typically is when they say that. But with God, it's really not about the money. It's about your heart. It's about your life. And it's about the message that He wants told to the world. You know, if you hold on to things, it hurts. Take a fist. Let me see your fist. We're wrapping this up. This is going to get you awake. All right? Take a fist. Now, I want you to hold it as tight as you can. Squeeze your fist. Now, don't stop. Don't quit on me now. I want you to go harder. No, I'm looking at you. You can do harder. You're not trying. Harder. Hold it harder. Yes, right there at the back. Hold it up. Hold it tighter, tighter, tighter. Keep it up. Keep it up. Keep it up. Now let it go. Feels really good, doesn't it? Do you know the word generous or generosity in the dictionary is often defined as open-handed? When we hold on to things, it hurts. When we hold on to things in life with clenched fists, it hurts. But when we give away what God has given to us, it doesn't hurt, it helps. It helps us and it helps those around us. And I've decided that a lot of us spend way too much time looking in mirrors instead of looking out windows. Look in the mirror. It can be scary. Some people need to get in front of the mirror a little longer, maybe. But we spend a lot of time looking at self. And what God wants us to do is not look at mirrors all our life, but look out windows and see the opportunities that we have to live and give our lives away for Him. Try giving your life away by giving your life to Jesus and then following Him. Let's say it again. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And it is. Would you stand with me, please? Everyone standing together. I want to invite you to know Christ. Some of you have given your life to Christ at the gift of Christmas. Now it's time to come forward in church. You raised a flashlight. Outstanding. But I want to encourage you to take another step, and that is to let your light shine in this room today by coming forward. Our ministers are going to be upstairs and on the lower level. And if you want to trust Christ as your Savior, then come forward and we'll talk with you about that. If you want to follow Jesus and give Him your life, remember, you start with your heart. Give your heart to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. You will never regret it. If I had a million lives to live, I would live every one of them for Christ. I mean that. What Christ has done for me, and what He's done for me, He will do more, even more for you. And so come to Jesus. Some of you have been in our Next Step program, and you've made a decision for Christ there. And when we give this invitation in just a moment, I'm going to ask you to come forward and make that decision public for Christ, to join the church, to profess your faith in Christ, to come for believers' baptism. So if you're trusting in Christ today, I'm going to ask you to come. Online, 74788 is the number. Text the word Jesus. Jesus to 74788. And the same materials that we're going to be giving people here in follow-up and discipleship, we will send to you. But trust in Jesus. There are others who need a church home. Talk about not just living life in a mirror. I mean, there's no solo Christianity. We give ourselves to one another. God has gifts for you. We talked about that. God has opportunities for you. God wants you to give your life. The way to keep living is to keep giving, to keep moving, to keep serving. You know, idleness is the devil's workshop, they say. I know the best way to be tired. Let me tell you the best way to be tired and worn out. Just sit on the couch and do nothing. Did you know that motion creates momentum in your life? Dr. Cooper, who's the father of aerobics, wonderful friend here in our church, he says people don't stop exercising because they get old. They get old because they stop exercising. That's convicting. So you stop moving. If you just sit still while somebody instills, you're not giving your life, you're not serving your life, you're not even a member of a church active in serving the Lord. This is your time to give your life back. We've all been blessed, so let's be a blessing. It's better to be a blessing than to receive a blessing. That's what Jesus said. So Lord, take this time of decision and invitation and bless it with your presence, with lives changed in the power of Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.